your conversation.
Right here, right now. There is no other place I want.
This is Right Here, Right Now with John Wright.
Right here, right now. Watching the world wake up from here.
On AM 1480 KAUS.
And in we go, hour number two of Right Here, Right Now, here on AM 1480 KUS. John Wright with you on what is usually my favorite day that we have during the year, because we get the opportunity to visit with our distinguished alumni as part of Homecoming Week. And we'll start this morning just quickly with Jenny Lindberg talking about the Alumni Association. Good to see you again.
Nice seeing you.
And happy homecoming week.
I know. It's been busy. It's been very busy.
Just real quick, guys, for people that aren't familiar, because I said my high school, they don't recognize alumni. Once we're gone, out the door. Here's your diploma. Bye-bye. Austin is really very active in not only recognized alumni, but the Music Hall of Fame, Athletics Hall of Fame, that we really celebrate the people who went on and above once they left Austin.
We do, and we try and instill that in the kids, that there is life after high school,
mm-hmm.
That they can do great things, or they may not, but, you know, it's like we want to connect with them. Connect with today's students. And this is the 20th year of doing Distinguished Alumni.
Wow.
Which is very amazing.
Nice. Well, I'll let you do the honors, too. Here we've got some very distinguished alumni joining us here this morning.
We do. This year's recipients are Clarence Nybo, and that's a posthumous award. He was in the class of 1937, and his daughter, Linda Nybo Lenz, accepted in his behalf yesterday. She's here with us. Then we have Randy Bailey. And Mr. Bailey is from the class of 1978. And yesterday when Katie Rassel Carter did part of the PowerPoint, she said 78 was a great year. And I leaned to Randy and said, yeah, it's because that's when she was born.
Man, that's kind of
hurtful.
Oh, I know.
Well, welcome to both of you. And we'll start with Randy. I was class of 77, so I have a difference of opinion on 78 or 77, but it's all good. just reading a little bit about your background, I mean, going from Austin and the things you accomplished, especially as an educator, pretty amazing. Congratulations on that. Mathematics and statistics, that's just sort of your thing that came naturally to you?
Well, thanks, John. Like I said, as part of my speech yesterday before the student body, I was always pretty good at math, but I didn't especially enjoy it. And then I had just a wonderful experience my senior year at Austin taking pre-calculus with Myron Schultz. Then all of a sudden I said to myself, oh my word, this stuff's powerful. And it kind of got me hooked up, and I went to the University of Minnesota, originally as an engineering major, and said, enough of that, and finally switched to math. And eventually it took me quite a while, but I became a math teacher up in the 196 district, Rosemont Apple Valley area. And eventually I took over the AP statistics program at my high school, and that really became my main gig that really sort of rejuvenated my career, and we took that ball and ran with it about as far as we can run.
What a great field to get into in education, especially mathematics, because I know a lot of students, they, you know, you're signing up for classes and you have to take a math, and you're like, oh, man. So,
yeah,
but
well,
so to be able to have kids and encourage them and teach them.
It's unfortunate that sometimes, you know, if you've got what it takes to be a math major, sometimes bad things happen to your brain during that process. And maybe you're really good at math, but maybe not so good at helping other people with math. And unfortunately, that's for a lot of people, that can be true. When I took over the stats program, that really made the difference, because there's not a field out there in the world that doesn't need people who know how to handle and interpret and analyze data. Mm-hmm. Like I would tell my students, you guys got it made. You can play in anybody's backyard. Whatever you choose to do after this class, you're going to have a leg up because you know how to handle the data that comes with that position. And by and large, kids bought into that, and that's why we grew so fast.
Well, and everything people do is data-driven. I mean, mm-hmm, you need to know the analytics and the background and everything else. As an educator, did you ever have a student that kind of gave you that, like, Mr. Holland's opus moment where you know you connected with that student and they came back to you and said, man, if not for you?
I guess that's one of the, you know, sometimes you really got to decide, am I really going to go into school today or not? Because maybe yesterday wasn't so good. And those kind of moments are what keeps you coming back. And luckily, there's been, I guess I've had more than my fair share of those. I still have students get a hold of me saying, Bailey, you were right. We tried to fit a lot of life lessons in alongside the stats and math that we were doing. And, you know, sometimes in spring I would say, okay, kids, don't tell anybody, but we're going to stop doing stats for 2 days here. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody, because I'll get in trouble. Don't tell anybody. And I would sneak in a little personal financial literacy a couple days and say, here's what you're going to need to know for life, kids, okay? And I've had so many kids get a hold of me 5, 10, 15 years later saying, Bailey, I did what you told me. Things are going well. Thanks. And those notes still come in from time to time.
Yeah, makes it all pull together, make it all worth it. Also, our other distinguished alumni representing the Nybel family, Linda Nybel-Lenz, welcome. I wanted to ask you, because not being from Austin, I have so many people that talk to me about the tower and specifically about Clarence. For a family member, what's that like to have that legacy and to know the impact that Clarence had?
At the time when I was going to the tower and that, I don't think it really dawned on me, because my dad, I didn't have a feeling that my dad was there when I was up there dancing and hanging out with my friends. So didn't really put much thought into it, but it was once got out of high school and would come back for reunions, and whenever I'd run into classmates, it was always, we were so lucky. We were so lucky. And then saying, too bad the kids today can't have it. And it is too bad, because it was kind of like, it was the right time, the right place, and the right person that came up with the idea. And it just doesn't die. Like, they just, a month ago, 400 people showed up for a tower reunion, and again, it's really hard to explain unless you, like, 1957 through 70, if you were there and experienced it, because it was so much of your high school life at that time.
Well, and that you see nowadays that a lot of kids don't have the rules and the regulations, and that, not that the tower was ruled with an iron fist, but there were specific guidelines and rules. And if you weren't going to abide by those, you could go someplace else and you were shown the door.
Right. And like Dad said, if you're going to go out and drink, you're not going to come up here, because they were really strict. Garnash was one of the longtime people that worked with Dad. And I think he got most of the, if you walked up there and you were suspicious, then you'd blow out, and Gar would stick his nose up in your face and say, nope, you're not coming in. And the kids joke about that now, but the rules were really strict. And anyone who got suspended, their names were passed on to the police department. And I thought, you know, at that time, some people had very strict parents and other people more not so. So this gave kids a guideline. Okay, if I want to hang out with my friends, these are the things I have to do. And I can't really remember anyone I know that got kicked out. So
yeah, that's really interesting. And I always wonder if a place like that could exist today.
And I think that was the key. You know, you had to have very strict rules. And then the people he hired that worked up there, Dick Hassam, Garnash, they really liked the kids, and they were respectful of the kids, and the kids gave that respect back to them. You know, I think if I visualize back then, I see those guys smiling, laughing, talking to the kids, and that goes a long ways.
And it was an interesting two-way street, too, because respect given was respect earned.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, we got to take a quick break. We got some business news to get to, but we got a lot more to talk about with our special guest today, the distinguished alumni joining us here for this hour here on AM 1480 KUS. Today, we've got a little bit of light rain in the forecast as we go through late morning and early afternoon. We're going to try to get it on out of here before the parade, and especially before the football game tonight. We'll check your forecast in just a couple of minutes. 20 minutes past the hour. Get some Fox Business News coming your way next here on AM 1480 KUS, the voice of Moore County and the surrounding area.
You're listening to Right Here, Right Now,
on AM 1480 KAUS.
Good to have you with on this Friday, our Distinguished Alumni Friday. Good to have everybody here on Homecoming Day. We're visiting with Randy Bailey, our Distinguished Alumni in studio, and then Linda Nibel-Lenz here representing the Nibel family and Clarence Nibel. And before we enter our break, we're just kind of talking about your experiences just after Austin High School. I always like to ask, and we'll start again with Randy, how did you find out when you were told that you were going to be the Distinguished Alumni? I mean, that had to be quite the moment.
Well, it was, especially because I had no idea really it was coming. I think this all started when my younger sister, as part of her class reunion, took a tour of Austin High School and saw the plaques out front of the auditorium for Distinguished Alumni, and she said, "Doggone it, my brother should be up here." And so she contacted the alumni group for Austin High School and started the application process going, and then through a conspiracy with my wife, who recruited a few supportive letters, got that all taken care of, and all of a sudden I get the little letter in the mail from Jenny that says, "Hey, congratulations." First, I think it was, "You're a candidate for this. Fill out this paperwork." Okay, all right, that sounds cool. And then a while later, I came down to play in the Austin Public Education Golf Fundraiser and to talk to folks some more. And I think a couple days later, Jenny called me up and said, "Hey, congratulations, you're one of our Distinguished Alumni for this year."
Wow.
So that's as part of my speech to the kids yesterday at the school, I talked about how all those wonderful previous Distinguished Alumni accomplishments across the depth and breadth of human endeavor, those people are amazing. That's really amazing. Me, on the other hand, I didn't participate in a single high school activity during my years at Austin. Everything that I sort of did with my life came later when I started to maybe grow up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it's surprising. So,
but hence the title, Distinguished Alumni.
Yeah, alumni, yeah.
Not about what you did at the high school.
I guess my sister's deep dream came true. We could say it that way.
I'm suspecting there's payback somewhere down the road.
I made a comment last night when we had the dinner because, Randy made that comment about the previous recipients. I had been in the building the week before for an alumni meeting, and there was a young man standing reading these plaques. And in all the times I've been in that school, I'm in there at least once a month, I had not really seen that, where a kid was actually standing there. Mm-hmm. And as I walked past him, I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "It might be you someday." And I truly meant it. It could be him. I don't know the young man, mm-hmm. but he was actually reading them. And I thought that was cool.
Absolutely. Linda, kind of same question to you. When the family found out, what was that moment like?
Well, it actually started back in February when Bruce Falcon called, and he was needing information about my dad for the music alumni. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, "Music alumni, let me wrap my head around this." I don't remember Dad playing an instrument. But anyway, I followed up, gave him the information. And then a little later, he said, "Well, he didn't get it this year, but they had a lot of applicants." He said, "But I'm going to nominate him for Distinguished Austin High School alumni," he said. So we got talking, and he just, as we talked, he said, "I'm on a mission." He said, "When I was researching the tower, your dad, I found no real recognition for his contribution." So he said, "I'm on a mission." And he was. he was on a mission, Jenny knows.
I had many a phone call from Bruce.
Yeah. My husband got suspicious, but he's happily married. But then the other comment was, talking to Jenny, she said, "Remember your audience." And so I was remembering talking to Bruce, what kind of hit home for him. And so then when I was looking at my speech, I thought, okay, he was a child of immigrants. Both of his parents immigrated from Norway. He didn't speak English in the home growing up. It wasn't until he started school that wow. happened. And the other point, too, that struck a note about, they lived in apartments for 14 years. When he came up with the idea of starting the tower. We were living in a one-bedroom apartment behind the YWCA, which is the Hormel House. Mm-hmm. And we slept, my sister and I slept on a bed. They slept on a Haida bed. So he had pretty humble beginnings. Blue-collar worker. Here he came up with this idea for a teen center. And he was able to do it. And with, like I said, really no background. And no, he didn't have a lot of disposable income. But yet he went ahead and did it. Ran the teen center successfully, and so many people said it made such a difference in their lives. So
that's probably what makes everybody stand out about him, is he did it because he knew it was the right thing to do, not because it was something that he really desired to do. It wasn't for making money or this was going to be his career. He just knew the community needed
that. He kept his full-time job, and then he was, when things needed to be changed or tweaked, he knew to do that. So he could keep it running.
So, you getting back to kind of the original question is, how did you find out then? You had suspicions the Distinguished Alumni announcement was coming.
He said, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this done. And then I thought, there are tons of really deserving people out there. Austin High School has produced, look at Randy. And then Jenny called and told me, and it was like, nothing would come out for a while.
I stumped her. I really did. You know, when I call the recipients, that's one of the coolest things I get to do, mm-hmm. is tell them that they've been selected. And I give them free rein on what they want to speak about, but to remind them who their audience is, because you got a lot of high school kids. It never ceases to amaze me what these speeches and what these messages do to these kids. And another thing, I made a comment last night that kids do not get they were wonderful yesterday, and they don't get credit a lot of times. Let's put it that way, that, kids are kids kind of thing. They are respectful. Right. They listen. Mm-hmm. I think, Randy, didn't you say a kid came up to you after the speech yesterday? Yeah, so that's awesome.
Well, another thing I've noticed in the conversations we've had, going back to when Michael Cotter was here and we did the program downtown and mm-hmm. visited with the Distinguished Alumni, every one of them starts out with, why me? They say, I went on, I did my career, I was just doing my thing. And to be honored that way kind of not necessarily catches them off guard, but they usually say, well, there are so many other alumni through the years that were probably more deserving. So they're so humble in the fact that they are representing Austin in that way.
They are very humbled. The year that Richard Knowlton was the one of the recipients, he was honored with Cindy Howden, who Cindy Howden had gone through a horrible, horrible horse riding accident, mm-hmm. and was basically paraplegic. Anyway, he was so moved by what she said and what her message was that he was dumbfounded. And his Nancy came up to me afterwards and said, I've never seen Dick not be able to speak. So they are, it's humbling for me too to listen to them.
We're going to talk about this, and you said that you had a student come up to you afterwards. When you had the opportunity to speak to the students, what did you want to communicate to them? What do you want to be the takeaway?
I tried to have a couple of main messages in my speech, and one of the first ones was what their job was at this stage in their life. And my theme was, your job right now, teenagers, it's not homework, it's not the classes, it's not your part-time job. Everything you're doing right now is for one purpose, to keep doors open for yourself. You don't know what you're going to be in the future. If you think you do, you're confident, but good luck, because I bet you're wrong. You're probably going to have a bunch of different careers, maybe some that don't exist. So for right now, your job is to keep every door open, whatever you can do to keep those doors open. That's your best bet. Right now, that is your ball game. Keep your doors open. And after that big, heavy, hard message, and I gave him a couple more tips. I said, make sure to always use your turn signals and to have stuff ready before you get to the drive-up ATM. If you could do those two things, you'll forget the rest of my speech, but if you could just remember, use your turn signals, have your stuff ready before you get to the ATM, that'll be an improvement. And so one kid talked to me later in the hallways, stopped me, said, hey, I listened to your speech. That was really, really good. And I said, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. And then he looked around to make sure no other kids were around, and he whispered to me, I use my turn signals every time.
See, they do listen.
They do listen.
They do listen.
Well, and oftentimes, like you were talking about having a heavier message, is they may not, I mean, obviously the humor is going to hit with them a little bit harder right away. But like years down the road, they're going to remember some of those things as their career takes left turns, right turns. You don't know where it's going to go. And they're like, man, he was right.
Yeah, yeah. The second part of my message involved, you know, it took me a while to figure this out. Certainly, I didn't have it as a teenager, but eventually I did. And that's this business of engaging in your community. You know, you've got to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Join the organization. Serve others. Organize your neighborhood block party. Join the social club. You've got to engage in things bigger than yourself and become a community servant. You know, there comes a point, I think, in your life where if you're really paying attention, you realize no matter what, you know, it's about so much more than me. I've got to engage my community. I got to make this community a bigger place. And that can be a big thing or that can be a small thing. But you have to engage in community. And one of my last messages to him also was along those lines, for now, take some time, thank the good people in your life who are supporting you. Don't waste that opportunity. Find the good people in your life who are supporting you. Thank them.
One thing I find really interesting, and Jenna, I'm sure you experience this, you see students, and my daughter says this to me, and it just grates my nerves every time. It's like, she can't wait to the day that she can get out of Austin and do something else. And Clarence, I think, is a great example of, you know, you don't have to leave Austin to achieve great things. Certainly, that's an option. Mm-hmm. But if you find yourself staying in Austin and having a career in Austin, that's great. There are great opportunities here. And Clarence is a great example of someone who really made Austin his home long term.
Yep. And another point I wanted to make, I didn't come right out and say it, but like Dad was supposed to graduate in 1936, but his dad broke his leg and he had to drop out of school his senior year. Wow. And I'm sure that was really tough. And but he went back the next year and graduated with a class of 37. So he had hit a bump. But he went on anyway. And then he wanted to go in the service. And when he went out to Fort Lewis, something out there triggered a severe asthma attack. So he got discharged honorably from the Army. And my husband said, I think he got discharged like December 7th. You know, wow. Right? Yeah. So, and again, that was a real disappointment for him. But then he just kept going. And he was a big fan of Norman Vincent Peale, mm-hmm. Power Positive Thinking. He'd follow me around with the radio. And that's like, Dad, I understand. I get it.
Well, and kind of the phrase, life is what happens when you're making other plans.
Right,
and kind of Randy's point is that there are people, well, my daughter, when she graduated, she wanted to be a geologist. She was just really into rocks and then ran into somebody at the Nature Center, and it sent her on a totally different career path, and yet it's something that she has just blossomed into. And, you know, Clarence, you said military, worked with the Austin Utilities, but something about wanting to give back to the community, as Randy talked about, was right there, and he just saw a vision. Did he ever talk about how the idea of the tower came to him and why he wanted to do that?
I was looking back and trying to figure that out. And Jen and I were talking that at the time when the tower was, 57, 70, girls' sports, there weren't any. No girls' basketball. Go back and look in the yearbooks. There's nothing for girls. And when he came up with that idea, I was 10, my sister was 13, and laying in bed, I heard Dad talking to my mom about this youth center he wanted to start. And I thought, you know, I think he was starting to look at the community through the eyes of a parent of two girls. And after the basketball game, what were the girls, his girls going to do? You know, when there weren't games to go to, where was a safe place where his girls could go and hang out with their friends? So I don't know if that was it, but I would think it might have been a motivator for him. Because he had to stand up to my mom saying, "Mom, or guess what, honey? I'm going to start a youth center." You know, after 14 years of living in apartments, just about to buy a house, it's like... But so if he won her over, he did a good sales job.
And then maybe she just also knew, you know, he made his case, but she's like, you know, he's right. We need this in the community.
Right.
Not only for the daughters in your family, but for the community as a whole.
And their big thing as a couple, what did they love to do if they had time? Go dancing. They loved to dance. We always had music in the house. So, you know. I'm sure she weakened as it was, especially knowing the type of venue that he pictured, a place where kids could dance and listen to music. So,
yeah. Well, and I think probably when she saw the enjoyment he was getting out of it and that you and your friends were getting out of it, that just, it's okay, Clarence.
It's a no-brainer.
We'll buy a house later.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we can make this
we can
work.
Do.
Yeah. So, Randy, coming down here to be part of the homecoming festivities, I mean, obviously you have memories of homecoming and that week and walking back into the high school. What was that moment kind of like when you got back here and were able to visit?
Well, I guess the simple answer there is just the waves of nostalgia that flow over you and how welcoming and wonderful that place still is. You know, after my little official speech part with the big assembly in the morning, I kind of probably did something illegal, and I was on camera, I'm sure, though, and walked around the school a little bit and stopped by some of the individual rooms with classes and teachers that I remembered. It didn't bother anyone. I just said, oh, yeah, that was great. That was a great one. Yeah. Walked around here and there. So stopped by the old library where a couple different events happened that sort of set my path to where it ended up. So it's just it's a wonderful thing. And your comment at the beginning, John, about how this kind of operation doesn't exist in very many places. Right. That's really astounding. The alumni group here at Austin High School, I don't know of anybody else. I was a high school teacher, had friends at a lot of other schools. I don't know of a whole lot of places that have this sort of an alumni operation that really does such a good job recognizing and bringing folks back to help out the current students. It's a wonderful thing.
Integrating it into homecoming week, which is, you know, really students are more about, you know, back in my day, bonfires and going to the football game and you got the big dance. And then you have these alumni coming back. I'm sure I probably would have been one of those in high school to roll my eyes and go, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
but
well,
then you get a chance to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Well, yeah, my other sister said, well, what, are they going to give you a certificate suitable for framing? And then I come down, and I've got the agenda in front of me. You know, you've got this wonderful opportunity to speak before the entire student and faculty body at the assembly. Then there's part of the student Battle of the Next competition that you could be a part of. There's the Pep Fest to be a part of, the parade, the dinner last night. It's the full package. It's a classy operation, and it's really just neat to be a part of it.
And I've got to ask you, Linda, just being back in the high school, and probably for you, it's probably on a different level because you're representing, you know, Clarence's vision and the things he did in high school, but you also have memories of being around Austin as well.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of neat to think of here. My parents went to school here. And my sister and I graduated from school here. Our kids graduated. And now we've got two granddaughters in ninth grade who were at the assembly.
Wow.
So, I mean, the history. And we've got more coming up through the Austin school system. But it's that history where you look through the yearbooks and this is mom and dad walking through, you know, in Criscow Hall, maybe dancing. And that history that really comes back to you. So, and the good memories we had in high school.
That when you said John walking back into the building, I was reminded of that on the way down and driving by the high school under construction in a town just north of us that shall not be named that we'll lose tonight. And I thought, that's another thing that we have that not a lot of places have. The history of Austin High School, it's a history. I'm walking into that same building where so many people before me have come, and there's wonderful things that happen when you build a new school building. There's no doubt about it. I've spent my career in a new school building largely, mm-hmm. but there's something that gets lost too when you walk into a place that a location that doesn't have that history. We do here in Austin. Another testament to the vision of so many Austin leaders that were able to preserve and improve that building.
Yeah, because there was that moment in time mm-hmm. where the plan was right. They're going to build a nice, shiny new toy and mm-hmm. get on the edge of town, yet having the school where it is, I think it has that sense of community because of where it's located and able to upgrade it and do the things we need to do to keep it modern and current. Mm-hmm. And the tower was kind of like that, that it's a mm-hmm. piece of the community where it drew people together and right. You know, we needed to have something like that right in downtown.
And talking about Pacelli and Austin High, it gave them a place to get to know each other. And even someone mentioned East Side, West Side, which was, I'd never thought of it that way. But so you came up and got to know the people from the other school across the road. And several marriages happened there, too.
Okay, we've got a couple minutes left. After you leave here, what else is on your agenda here for today?
Well, if they choose, the Pep Fest is at 10 to 3. Austin High goes from 8:30 to 3:30 now. And okay. So if they want to come to the Pep Fest, which I'm sure it will be crazy, and they announce who won the Battle of the Connects, then the parade, and then we meet at the football game, and they're introduced prior to the game. Mm-hmm. So. And then their job here is done for the weekend anyway.
Well, we're glad you're able to come down and be a part of this. Just real quick before we go, we got about 2 minutes. Just any last thoughts about just the honor or being back here, your conversation with the students, Randy?
It's if people think the world's having trouble or your community's having trouble, if you really get out and engage a little bit, the message that comes back loud and clear every single time, there are a whole lot of great people in this community, other communities, that really are concerned about promoting their town, promoting their high school, promoting their team. There are a lot of people that are on board that are ready and willing to cheerlead and be those engaged community folks that make this place a better place. And if you get out and really engage like that, you're going to find out, you know what, there's a lot of great things happening, and you should be a part of it.
Very good. And Linda, some last thoughts?
I think education, it was nice to be back to represent Dad because he was the first person in his family to make it through high school. And at that time, you could drop out after eighth grade. And I'm sure he never dreamed of being honored like this. So it would have been nice for him to share it. But I think knowing that he had grandkids, now he has great-grandkids that are here in Austin to fulfill that dream of education. That's pretty special.
Oh, very, very good. Just under a minute. If anybody would like to nominate somebody to be a distinguished alumni, what would they do?
They can find me. I have a school email address. I have nomination forms. More than willing to mail them one. So anybody can get a hold of me. Actually, if you call the school, they can get the message to me.
To say, I think I know somebody who should be a distinguished alumni.
Yep. And they'll get it to me.
Process.
They'll find me.
Well, again, congratulations to both of you, to the Nebo family. And Randy, a pleasure meeting you. Have a great rest of your day today. We'll do what we can to get rid of the rain for you.
Yes, please.
Thanks for being here today.
All right, thank you, John.
News coming up here in just a moment. And after news, we'll wrap up with our good news story of the day that comes your way after MNN News in just a moment.
Grab your oars and get ready to row the boat.
He's to the five.